Erevin Daf Nun. When Mem Testament Beis, we're immediately after the Mishnah. We're approaching here the end of the fourth parak of Erevin. Mishnah yesterday introduced us to a really interesting concept, and that is the idea of throwing one's Eruv. Person's walking home, he's about 4,000 amas away from his house, which is 2,000 more than what he's allowed to walk, and it's approaching dark, and he sees up ahead a tree or any other landmark. So what he can do under certain circumstances and with the conditions being met, with the proper conditions being met, is that he could take his makom shvisa and he could throw it to that landmark. The Mishnah taught us, and I'm just going to review the beginning of the Mishnah as it is going to be discussed over the course of the entirety of today's daf. Misha baba derech, I'm reading from the beginning of the Mishnah. Misha baba derech, someone's coming home, v'chash chalo, and it's getting dark. V'haya makir ilan ogeder, and he recognizes either a tree or a fence. V'amar shvisasi tachtav, and he says that I want my makom shvisa to be underneath that area. So lo amar klum, because he said it generically, I gave it away a little bit, but because he said it generically, so he's as if he said nothing. Shvisasi bi karo, but if he says that he wants his makom shvisa to be in the trunk of that tree, and he points to a very specific area, so halach mi makom ragla vadi karo apai mama. So then you could walk the 2,000 amas from where you currently are to the tree. In other words, your makom shvisa now has been established at the trunk of the tree. And that affords you the opportunity to walk to the 2,000 amas to get to that tree. Umikaro vad beso apai mama, and then you can walk the next 2,000 amas to get from the tree to the home. Of course, all this is assuming that you're just a shade under 2,000 amas to the tree, and from the tree to the house is another just under 2,000 amas. And the Mishnah then just summarizes your total walking. So nimsa mahalach mishach hashecha abas alafim ama. Or it turns out that you walked 4,000 amas. And then the Mishnah goes on, but the rest of the Mishnah is going to be discussed subsequently later in the Gemara, not in today's daf. So right now we're just going to be focusing on this part, and specifically we're going to be focusing on the part of the Mishnah that says that if you just simply generically describe how you want your makom shvisa to be under the tree, so the Mishnah's language is lo amar klum, as if you said nothing. The Mishnah, however, is not clear exactly what that means, meaning we know that what you said is not halachically binding, so then what becomes the consequence of having said generically that you want your makom shvisa to be under the tree? And that's where the Gemara discusses and debates. So Milo Amar Klum. So we go right to the Gemara, and this is where we left off yesterday. The question is very straightforward. What does it mean, Lo Amar Klum? Amar Rav Lo Amar Klum Kol Iker. So Rav says that what it means to say is that you have nothing. And that is Dafil Latachtiv Shel Ilan Lamasi Azel. You can't even walk to the tree. And that means to say that according to Rav, basically it was a full forfeiture of any Makom Shvisa. And the Gemara is going to spell this out, but let's say it right now. The place that you're currently residing now is not your makom shvisa, because clearly you showed that your intent was that you wanted your makom shvisa to be somewhere along the way, up ahead. On the other hand, however, because you didn't specify where your makom shvisa was going to be up ahead, so that also hasn't acquired for you a makom shvisa. So you're now without a makom shvisa. What becomes of the person without a makom shvisa on Shabbos? He only receives 4 amos, and that's exactly what Rav says, that this person is only going to be receiving 4 amos, and for the remainder of the Shabbos, he's going to be bound, confined to just 4 amos in which he's standing. Ushmul Amar Shmuel is of the opinion Lo Amar Klum, Leveso of Alatach Tishol Ilan Mati Azel. He can't go home, but he can go to the base of the tree. Venasis Tach Tishol Ilan Chamer Gamal. Now, the base of the tree is Chamer Gamal, and I'll explain that better in just a moment, but basically, he's stuck under the base of the tree. Not exactly, as I'm going to explain in just a moment, but that expression Chamer Gamal is an expression we had earlier. It basically means that you're being pulled in two directions, and you're caught between those two directions. Over here, it's not exactly what I meant earlier, but again, I'll explain that better in just a moment. And the Gemara is going to explain it. And the Gemara says, "Balimdod min atzafa modim lo min adarom." If you're measuring to the north, so you measure from the south. And "Balimdod min adarom modim lo min atzafon." If you're measuring from the south, you're now going to measure from the north. And now, let's explain this in somewhat easier terms. And that is as follows. According to Shmuel, when you're throwing your makom shvisa to the area under the tree, so it lands. Now, the area of the tree is a large area. We haven't really discussed how big an area we're talking about, but just for argument's sake, and this is the number Rashi uses, is let's say 30 amas of total area under the tree. And now you're throwing your makom shvisa to that area. Where exactly under it? We don't know. But, and this point is very clear, this part is very important, you're only going to get dalet amos, meaning your makom shvisa is an area of dalet amos. From there, you can go 2,000 amos in every direction. But the actual makom shvisa itself is 4 amos. So where is it under the tree? So because you didn't specify, so it could be anywhere under the tree. Any area under the tree now serves as a candidate of where your dalet amos lie. Now, why can't you then go from the tree go home? So it's because as follows. the distance from the tree to your house is in fact 2,000 amos, but that's only from the portion of the tree that's closest to the house. However, because we don't know exactly where your makom shlisa is, we're going to have to take into consideration that your makom shlisa may be not in the closer part of the tree that's closer to your house, but rather in the portion of the tree that's further away from your house. And so therefore, the chamar gamal that's mentioned in Shmuel's statement is basically whenever you're going to go in a direction, you assume the worst in terms of where your makom shlisa is. Meaning if, let's say, you're headed northbound from the tree, you're going to assume that your makom shlisa is on the most southern portion of the tree. And the opposite is also true. If you're going to head southbound, so you're going to assume that your makom shlisa now is going to be in the most northern portion of the tree. And the reason why you can't go home is because whichever direction home is, you're assuming that the makom shlisa is going to be on the furthest portion of the tree, which will get you just short of getting home. Meaning, if the entire expanse of the tree is 30 amos, and let's say the total distance to get to the tree is from the to your house is 2,000, but that's only from the edge of the tree that's closest. So that means now to say that the we're going to assume that the makom shlisa is now on the furthest point, which means that you're going to be 30 amos short. Okay. So far what we have over here is two opinions, Rav and Shmuel, vis-a-vis what is going to be the limits and the extent of a person who tries to throw his makom shlisa to the area underneath the tree, but he doesn't specify where. So Rav says, lo amar klum, he has nothing, and it's a full forfeiture of any makom shlisa, and he only has dal amos, where Shmuel says, no, he's under the tree. It's just not clear exactly where under the tree is going to be. Amar Rava. We now continue in the Gemara, Nun Amad Aleph, my Tamid Rav, what's the basis behind the Shita of Rav? So the Gemara says, Misham Dalam Messiah Asrei. So the Gemara now is going to try to give us far behind Rav. Now, just I'll mention this briefly, but everything we just described already, the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, so I presented it the first way, the way Rashi first presents it. If you take a look at Rashi on the bottom of Mem Testament Beis, you'll see that Rashi does spend a considerable amount of time explaining the Gemara over here, and Rashi does offer more than one way to understand the Gemara and the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, but the way that I present is Rashi's first way, which is the way he preferred. Okay, and I just reminded myself, only because Rashi, one of Rashi's questions on his alternative way is the Gemara over here on the top. Anyway, but I would like to keep everything nice and simple, and so therefore I'm not going to go through Rashi's second shot, which anyway, ultimately, he himself does not like. But anyway, I'm a rabbi, my time is a rabbi, what's the basis behind Rav? And essentially what you're hearing now in the Gemara is that we're looking to explain Rav. And that means to say that Shmuel's position is slightly more... It's easier to digest. In other words, the idea that you're throwing your makom shlisa underneath a tree, it's a large expanse of area, 30 amos. We don't know exactly where it is, but it's there. In other words, it's somewhere there under the tree, and we're going to have to assume the worst case scenario in terms of where it is, but it's there. It's under the tree. That's Shita Shmuel. And so the Gemara doesn't really look to understand that any better. It's pretty self-evident. Okay. But the position of Rav, however, requires a lot of explanation because Rav says that you forfeited in total your makom shlisa, and that's difficult to understand. Meaning the idea that you forfeited your current location, okay. In other words, clearly, you're looking ahead, and you're trying to make your makom shlisa further ahead of where you are. So your current location now is forfeited. The Gemara is fine with that. But the idea now that the area under the tree now is going to be totally a non-designated area, you're not going to get any portion of the tree because you weren't specific. So the Gemara wants more clarity on that. The Gemara is going to now provide clarity in one of two ways. One, I'm a Rav, my time is a Rav, Mishum Dalam Messiah Masrei. So one explanation of Rav is actually pretty straightforward, and that is, you weren't specific about the area that you wanted to designate your Makom Shlisa. And in this first approach of the Gemara, in order to acquire Makom Shlisa, you have to be very specific. You have to say exactly where that Makom Shlisa is going to be. And if you're just pointing to a generic area, that is in of itself is not enough in order to identify what a makom shlisa is. You have to be specific. The Gemara, however, gives a different approach. Igad Amri in the second version. So I'm a Rav in my time of the Rav. What's the basis behind Rav? Mishum dekasav kol she'ino b'zeh achazeh. Afilu bevas achas eino. So the Gemara over here lays down the following rule. This is Rav's explanation of Rav's second explanation. And that is that if I cannot do something one after another, I can't do it at the same time. Or you're going to hear me saying this a lot now in the course of today's daf. If I can't do something sequentially, I can't do it concurrently. This is an idea that it comes up in the Gemara a number of times. Interestingly, by the way, it comes up in Kedushin and Daf Nun. It happens to also come up in Erevin Daf Nun. So just as a helpful reminder in terms of where to find this sugya. So we're going to find it in two locations in the Nuns of Erevin and Kedushin. Now this idea that if I cannot do something sequentially, I can't do it concurrently. So it's going to come up in many different examples. So as we go through the examples, I think we're going to have a better time understanding this idea. But let's understand it right now, right in the here and now, in terms of how it applies to our scenario. Let's say as follows. You are trying to acquire Makom Shvisa under an expanse of the tree, which is 30 amos. In other words, there are plenty of Makom Shvisas that can fit in that area. Your Makom Shvisa is 4x4, and the area under the tree is significantly larger. And now, so now, let's say that you wanted to acquire more than one Makom Shvisa under the tree. So possible? The answer, of course, is no, impossible. Going into Shabbos, you can only get one Makom Shvisa. So that means to say that you can choose one Makom Shvisa, but you can't choose a second or a third. Right? It goes without saying, you can't choose a third. You can't choose a second. So, if you try to acquire a Makom Shvisa, follow them by another Makom Shvisa, so you can't do it sequentially. Once I can't do those two things sequentially, I can't even do it concurrently. And, took me a while to fully digest this, but I think I got it now. And that when we say you can't do it concurrently, it means neither is going to work when you try to do it concurrently. Meaning the one, even though you are entitled, of course, to establish one Makom Shvisa, but nevertheless, because I cannot do one after the other, so I can't do either one of them if I try to do it concurrently, meaning I'm not going to get one. And this principle of anything which is anything which cannot be done sequentially cannot be done concurrently is obviously now going to restrict you from getting either Makom Shvisa. You can't get neither the first one or the second one. Okay, now, so the Gemara says, now, in terms of Nafkamin, is because what we just did is presented two different ways to understand Rav. Rav says you don't get any area under the tree. So the first explanation is because you weren't specific. The second explanation is because of this principle, that things cannot be done sequentially, cannot be done concurrently. The Gemara says there will be an afkamina. So let's say that the person says, look, I know the area is large. You're able to get two Makom Shvisas under that area. It's eight amos. But what I'm looking to do right now is only to get four of those eight. I don't know which four. But in other words, I'm only looking to get one Makom Shvisa of the eight. So now, if the problem with Rav, if the failure is the fact that you weren't specific over here, you weren't specific. Meaning you said four of the eight, but you didn't specify which four of the eight. So that's a lack of specificity, and therefore it doesn't work. And the Gemara says, but if the issue is if I can't do something sequentially, I can't do it concurrently. So over here, so I'm not doing something sequentially, meaning I'm only looking to acquire one Makom Shvisa. Now it happens to be, I didn't specify which, but in the second approach, it's not an issue of specificity. It's an issue of, if I can't do it sequentially, so then I can't do it concurrently. Over here, there is no sequential. I'm only looking to acquire one Makom Shvisa. So in this scenario, it would work. So the Gemara now just simply illustrated a nafkamina between the two reasons that are given. Gufa. Gemara goes back, Amar Rabba Kol Davar, She'ena Bezer Chazeh Afilu Bevas Aches Eina. So the Gemara says, okay, now we're going to go over this rule, and now we're going to see this play out in a number of different examples throughout Shas, Eis Ve'abai L'Rabba. So the challenge goes to Rabba. From the sound of the Gemara, by the way, it sounds like Rabba subscribes to this, because Abai is challenging Rabba, meaning even though Rabba is using this to explain Rav, but it seems to be that this is Rabba's principle. Okay. Hamar Be'ma Ma'asros Per Osav Mesukanim Ma'asros Mekukalim. So here we have a Tosefta. All these Gemaras that we're doing over here is also going to be found in Kedushin as well. In other words, the Sugya over there resembles our Sugya a lot, understandably. It's the same basic topic. And that is the following. A person takes off his Meisers. Meiser for the Levim. It's 10%. Now, Meiser Peros is 10%, and it must be exactly 10%. It can't be less than 10%, can't be more than 10%. Unlike Truma, Rashi over here makes this point. Unlike Truma, where Truma you have a certain allowance, there is flexibility. Truma, the Torah does not give an amount of how much Truma you're supposed to give. And the average person gives 2%. And the more generous and the more miserly person gives a little bit more, a little bit less, depending on their propensity of wanting to give. Anyway, but when it comes to Meiser, the Torah is very clear. Meiser is exactly as the word indicates, 10%, no more, no less. Now, let's say the person decides that he's not going to give 10%, but he's going to give 20%. Now, what becomes of that? So in it's interesting, in his generosity, so he actually made things worse, because the Torah does not allow to give more than 10%. And the Brisa says that the 80% now, that is the portion that is the non-Meiser portion, so that's Mesukanim, that's fixed, meaning that's corrected. In other words, you took off the Meiser. Here's the problem. The problem is the 20%, because this 20% is not all Meiser. Only 10% is Meiser. Half of it is Meiser. So under these circumstances now, what's the other 10%? So the other 10%, consider, it's not Mesukanim, because then it would be on the 80% side. And it's not Meiser, because Meiser can only do 10%. So what is it? So it's Tevel. And that's exactly what the Brisa is saying. When the Brisa is saying that the Ma'asros of Mikul Kalim, the Ma'asros now have been ruined, because now what you have is a combination of Meiser and Tevel mixed together. The Gemara says, now wait one second. Now the portion that of this story that is problematic is Rabba's rule. Amai, Lema Kol Sheinu B'Zachar Z'afilu B'Vasachas Eino. So the Gemara says, let's consider over here. Let's say we were trying to do this sequentially. Now, let's play this out. Rashi illustrates all this. I'm just saying it outside. Let's play this out. First, let's take our 10% off of Meiser. Fine. Now what I try to do is I try to take another whatever. It doesn't matter how much I take off after that. But just to keep our case the same. Let's take off another 10% as Meiser. So is the second one going to be Meiser? The answer, of course, is no. Once you take off your first 10%, the next one is not going to be Meiser. So, if I try to do it sequentially, we take off Meiser, follow them by Meiser, it doesn't work. So now, let's plug in our rule. If I can't do it sequentially, I can't do it concurrently. And that means, and again, now just digest, and we get to all digest and process this idea. And that is, when we say we can't do it concurrently, it means neither is going to take hold. Meaning, when I take off the Meiser, even the 10%, the first 10% is not going to be Meiser. Why not? Because if I can't do something sequentially, meaning take off Meiser, follow them by Meiser, so I can't do it concurrently. Meaning even the first 10% is not going to be Meiser. That's the rule of Kol Sheinu B'Zeach Hazeh, Afilu B'Vasachas Eino. It's simply nothing. So the Gemara says, so under these circumstances, so now, why are we saying that the 20% that I take off is a combination of Meiser and Tevel? It's not Meiser and Tevel. It should be nothing. In other words, I should have accomplished nothing, being that I took off more than 10%. So Shani Meiser di Salachatzain. Di Amar Tikdosh Palga, Palga Dechitata Kacha. So the Gemara says, okay, but you know what? Meiser is different. Why? Because when it comes to Meiser, even a single grain is divisible. If necessary, in other words, 10% means 10%, regardless of what it means regarding the grain. If let's say I have 5 grains and I need to take 10%, so what is 10% of 5 grains? So it's half of a grain. So every grain vis-a-vis Meiser is divisible. So that means to say now that as far as the hafrasha, as the separation of the Meiser is concerned, so the reason why the Meiser in of itself works is because I can take off the 10% separate from the second 10%. In other words, that's simply how Meiser works. And so therefore, what we do have now is we have Meiser taken off, period, and then whatever I take off after that is not Meiser. It's just simply now still untithed produce, otherwise known as Tevel. So the Gemara says, so over here, this is not going to be a good example of Zeach or Zeh, because it's not a case of Zeach or Zeh, since Meiser in of itself, each grain in of itself is really divisible. So the Gemara says, fine, Vahari Meiser Behema, Delesa Lechatzain. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's move now to our second case. And the second case is Meiser Behema. Now Meiser Behema, the animal has to be counted in units of animals, meaning every animal is its own count. And Vahama Rava Yasa Shneim Basir Vakarim Asiri, Asiri Vacharasa Meravin Zebezeh. And a halacha regarding Meiser Behema. Now, in that opening in the gate, only one animal should come out. And then, lo and behold, for the 10th animal, which I'm expecting only one animal to come out, so two animals squeeze out at the same time. And then not only that, but I point to these two animals and I call it the 10th animal. What happens under these circumstances, you have Meiser and Chulin mixed together. Now, the Gemara says it's the 10th and the 11th animal that are mixed together. So the Gemara says now, the Gemara doesn't spell out this question, but again, let's look at this as if it were sequential. If I had the 10th animal come out, and then I had the 11th animal come out, when the 10th animal comes out, and I call it 10, so then it's the 10th animal. When the 11th animal comes out, and I call it 10, right now, let's assume that you knew what you were doing. You knew it was the 11th animal. So under those circumstances, the 11th animal is not Meiser. So it can't happen sequentially. And now we're just simply going to plug in the rule. Well, if it can't happen sequentially, I can't do anything concurrently. Meaning when 10 and 11 come out at the same time and I call a 10, neither of the animals are going to have Kedusha. Because again, we go back to the rule. If I can't do something sequentially, then even concurrently, neither of the effects are going to take effect. So the Gemara's response to that is Shani Maisa Behema de Isa Bezacharzeh Betaus. So the Gemara says also Maisa Behema is not a good example because in the world of Maisa Behema, there is sequential in a case of a mistaken count. In this case, we go over numerous times throughout Shas. Did non karlishi asir lasir chigul acharasar asiri shloshtam mikudashin. This case, which presents itself many times, we saw this at the end of Bechoros, is where number 9 comes out. And so we're going to just simply count out the three animals, 9 through 11. In other words, 9 was the actual number that came out. And what did you call it? So number 9 came out, you called it 10, by accident. Number 10 came out, well, you called it 9. And number 11 came out, and you called it 10. So under those circumstances, there's a series of psukim there in the Gemara and Brachos that darshens this out. Rashi over here says, go to the end of Bechoros to see the psukim. Anyway, the halacha is that each one of them is going to have Kedusha. Okay, different types of Kedusha, but nevertheless, each one are going to be Kaddish. So you see over here that there is sequential, even in cases of 10 and 11. It's betos, and that's in a case of mistake, but nevertheless, there is cases of sequential, and that's why when they come out simultaneously, that's why it's going to be Meiser and Chulin mixed up together, because there is cases of sequential. The Gemara says, V'arei tod d'leisa betos v'leisa b'zeach hazeh. So the Gemara says, what about the carbon toda? As we go over numerous times, the carbon toda is a carbon that a person brings to thank Hashem after having been saved from a precarious situation in which he brings an animal and 40 loaves of bread on top of that. And the itmar, toda shenishchot al shmonim chalos. Let's say the person, when bringing his carbon toda to the base of Mikdash, so instead of bringing 40 loaves of bread, he brings 80 loaves of bread. Okay? And 40 more than what the Torah mandates. And under those circumstances now, when he shechs his carbon toda, what kind of Kedusha is going to be imbued into the bread, into the lachmei toda? Chizkiya amar kishu ala mem mitoch shmonim. So it's a machlokas amaraim. Chizkiya says 40 of the 8 are going to be kadosh. Rav Yochanan amar lo kiddushu ala mem mitoch shmonim. And Rav Yochanan says, no, there's not going to be any kedusha. So here you have a machlokas. And now, if I try to do it sequentially, it's not going to work. If I try to do it sequentially, it's not going to work. Meaning, once I'm machdish the first 40, my attempt afterwards to be machdish another 40 is not going to have any effect whatsoever. And if I machdish all 80 at the same time, it should have no effect, again, based on this rule. And meanwhile, at least according to the Shita of Chizkiya, it will have effect. And so, again, this is now a third problem that we're presenting against Rabbah. So, hey, Itmar Allah, Amar Rabbi Zeram, HaKomodim Hechad Amar Liktushu Arbaim Mitoch Shmonim, Dikachu. So the Gemara says, here in this machlokes between Chizkiya and Rav Yochanan, we need a little more context. The Gemara gives us more context. And that is that in a situation where I'm very clear and articulate that 40 of the 80 are going to have Kedusha, so then 40 of the 80 are going to have Kedusha, and we have agreement between Chizkiya and Rav Yochanan. And if I say, Lo yakdishu arba meleim kin kitshu shmonim, so, and if a person says that I'm only having 40 of them have Kedusha, if all 80 of them have Kedusha, meaning he wants all 80 to have Kedusha, so kuliyam lo pligi de lo kachu. So then the lachmei Torah are not going to have Kedusha because you're giving more than what the Torah demands. You're in violation of Baal Tosef. And ki pligi, and no Kedusha takes place. And ki pligi bistama. And the Gemara says the machlokes between Chizkiya and Rav Yochanan is in a case where you bring 80 without any explanation. And in all these cases where there's no explanation provided, so obviously the best route would be to ask the person, why are you bringing an additional 40? So obviously that is the best route to go. But as the Gemara discusses very often, let's say we didn't have a discussion with him and we want to know, what do people generically think? So the Gemara says, Marsav l'acharez kamechavin ve'altanai aisinu, u'marsavar l'karban gadol kamechavin. So the Gemara says, and the machlokus between Rav Yochanan and Chizkiya is, what do we assume the default thought process is of a person who brings 80? One approach is that the additional 40 are just insurance, achrayus. And so therefore that means to say that he knows that he only needs to bring 40. He just happens to be a person who likes to make sure that things are taken care of. Right? We can call him a little bit nervous, doesn't matter. In other words, the point is that he wants to know that 40 loaves are going to be brought. So he brings in another 40 simply as insurance. then it's not a violation of the Torah, meaning he's bringing in 40, and then just an extra 40, another 40 just in case. And the other position is no, that when he's bringing in 80, the default thought process is he's showing off. He wants to bring not 40, but he wants to bring 80. Right? Carbon gadol, he wants to bring even more. And that, of course, is a violation. That's what the Torah does not want. The Torah wants you to bring 40, not 80. And so that is the machlokes between Chizkiah and Rav Yochanan. But everyone's in agreement that if you're specifically saying that you want 40 of them to be Kaddosh, it's going to be Kaddosh. And if you want 80 to be Kaddosh, it's not going to be Kaddosh. Okay, so once again now, Rabba's position of anything that cannot be done sequentially, zech or zeh. So afilo bevasach haseinu cannot be done concurrently. So the Gemara challenged that based on the case of Maaser Rishon, based on the case of Maaser Behema, and based on the case of the Lach Metoda. In all three of those cases, the Gemara still defends the Shita of Rabba, and we are left now with the principle of Rabba, which is that if something cannot be done sequentially, it cannot be done concurrently, which is all used, let me just finish this very long sentence, which is the explanation, one of the explanations that explains Rav, vis-a-vis why it is that a person, when he points to the area under the tree, and he says, I want my Makom Shvisa to be there, so why doesn't it work? So this is the second explanation that we gave. It's because he is not pointing to a specific area, and if he tried to sequentially pick an area, meaning I'll pick this area, follow them by that area, it doesn't work. So then concurrently it does not work as well. Okay, Adkan. That takes us now to the first half of today's daf, both in terms of sugya. And literally, as we are now on the top of Nun Amud Beis, continuing Amar Abaye. So over here now, we had a case that we've been discussing this entire daf, where he tries to throw his Makom Shvisa to the tree, which is the halfway point between him and his home, and in doing so, he'll be able to get home. And the distinction that we've drawn in terms of not being specific in terms of where it belongs, where the Makom Shvisa is going to go under the tree, under those circumstances, it doesn't work. But what does that mean it doesn't work? We just saw machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, and in the case where he is specific. Now we're going to go back to the original case where he wasn't specific, but the area under the tree is not 30 amos, it's significantly smaller. And what we're going to basically discuss is, at what point is it small enough where we know with specificity where the Makom Shvisa is going to be? So the Gemara is going to have two opinions on this matter. Amar Abaye. Lo shenu labi ilan shetachta v'yud beiz ama. If the area under the tree is 12 amas, so then we have this discussion. Avabi ilan shein tachta v'yud beiz ama. But if the area under the tree is less than 12 amas, hari mixas beiso nikar. So some of his Makom Shvisa is going to be recognized. Now, it's a little bit difficult to explain because I know what the question is coming up in the Gemara, and the question's so strong, it's right now hard to even understand this position. But in an attempt to explain it, basically it's like this. The Makom Shvisa is 4. Okay, we're just gonna deal with a linear look at things. I know it's three dimensional. I know it's an area of a 4x4, but for the purpose of this discussion, we're just gonna stay on one plane. Okay, so you're gonna acquire 4 amas. Now, if the area is just under 12 amas, let's call 11 amas. So now, if I had in that 11 amas, essential 4 amas, so that means to say that if I chose an amma to the right of it, the 4 amas to the right of it, or 4 amas to the left of it, so there's going to be overlap. And what we're trying to argue now, what Abai is trying to argue now, is that because there's going to be overlap with the center, so at this point in time, wherever you put your Makom Shvisa, and because it overlaps, so therefore, we know where it's going to be. Okay. Now, as hard as I just tried explaining it, I'm sure you see the problem. The Gemara spells out the problem. So, Maskel of Rav Huna, Bered Rav Yoshumi, Mai de Ba'arbay Mitziasa, Kamisayim, Dilma Ba'arba de Ha'gisa, Uva Arba de Ha'gisa, Kamisayim. The Gemara says, wait 1 second. In other words, if it's 11 amos, so either your Makom Shvisa could be all the way to the one exterior, one extreme right, or the other extreme left. And of course, there's going to be a gaping gap right in the middle. And there is no overlap. So how can you tell me that if it's 11 amos and your Makom Shvisa is 4, so it is it's definitively going to overlap? It's not true. It's not going to definitively overlap. The question here is so strong, it was really hard to understand what even the Havamina is, and it's hard to understand Abai's position to begin with. But okay, so El Amar Vuna Bered Rav Yeshua. So over here now, we're gonna shrink the area even smaller. Lo Shano Ela Beilan Shetachtav Ches Amos, Aval Beilan Shetachtav Zayin Amos, Harim Mixas Beis Unikar. Good. So over here now, if the area under the tree is less than 8 amos, let's call it 7. So now we know for sure. Wherever your makam shvisa is, it's going to overlap with any other area because the makam shvisa is dala amos. And so therefore, by definition, wherever you put it there will overlap with wherever else it would go. And since there is common ground in which your makam shvisa is going to be, so therefore that is considered specific enough. And therefore, you are in fact going to be acquiring your makam shvisa. Under those circumstances, Tanya Kavasi Derav, Tanya Kavasi Deshmol. And now we go back to the beginning of today's daf, and that is the machlokes between Rav and Shmuel, and the Gemara now is going to be supporting Rav's position, Shmuel's position with Brisas. Again, just to reiterate, according to Rav, when you are not specific to where under the tree you want your makam shvisa to be, so you have lost your makam shvisa altogether, and you have forfeited everything. You do not gain a makam shvisa where you currently are, nor an area under the tree, for the two reasons that we already explained. Shmuel, on the other hand, says, no, you do get the area under the tree, but with the understanding that anywhere under the tree could be a candidate of where your makam shvisa is, and so whenever traveling at a distance from the tree, always assume worst-case scenario in terms of where you're traveling relative to where your makam shvisa is. Good. The Gemara now is going to be quoting Brisas supporting both these positions. So, Tanya Kavasi Derav, we are two lines down as it gets wide. Misha Baba Derech V'chashkalo, a person's walking home and it's getting dark. V'haya Makir Ilano Geder, and he recognizes either a tree or a fence. V'amar Shvisa Si Tachtav, and he says that I want my Makam Shvisa to be underneath. Lo Amar Klum, he has said nothing. Aval Im Amar Shvisa Si B'Makam Ploni, but if he's specific about where it's going to be, Mahalachash Megiya Lo Osa Makam, so now he can go to that specific area. He Megiya Lo Osa Makam, he gets to that specific area, Mahalachis Kulo. And now he can walk within the specific area, v'chusala apay mama, and he can go beyond that 2,000 amas in all directions. Now, in terms of a specific area can present itself in a couple of ways. First of all, kagon, sheshavas betel shehu gavol yutfachim. Let's say that it happens to be a mound that is 10 tfachim high, v'hu meidala amas vad beis asayim. In terms of the area, anywhere from 4 amas up until 5,000 square amas. So that obviously is a specific area. And because it's a mound, that means to say that it's basically an enclosed area. Now I understand a mound is not an enclosed area, but the walls going up to make the mound basically create a Rishos Yachid area. That entire area from 4 amas to 5,000 square amas, that entire area now is considered your Dalet Amos. And so therefore your 2,000 amas start only after that area. The Chain Bika, the same thing is true with a valley. In other words, a recess in the ground. Shiyamuka Yud Bihimidala Amos Vabes Asayim. So any recess in the ground that goes anywhere from an area of 4x4 to 5,000 square amos, same story. Meaning that now becomes your Makam Shvisa. That entire area, which is now considered enclosed, is your Dalet Amos. And now your 2,000 amos start only after you leave that enclosure. Now, if it's an area not like the mound we just described, not like the valley we just described, but it's just simply a specific area under the tree, but non-enclosed, so then that gives you dal amos over there, and then your 2,000 amos are going to go beyond those dal amos. Let's say two people are now walking together, and they know they're not making it home, and it's the same situation that we've been discussing all daf. But here, one person knows the lay of the land and knows the upcoming landmark, and the other person doesn't. So, Zeshino Makir, Moser Shvisasa Lamakir, Vamakir Omer Shvisasa Bemakam Ploni. So here you can now have a friend help out another friend. The person who is unaware, is unfamiliar, will say to the person who's familiar, look, I'm going to make you my agent, where not only are you going to make a Makam Shvisa for you, but you'll make one for me as well, considering that you know the landmark and you could be specific in terms of where our Makam Shvisa is going to be. Now over here, in this where you're making your makam shvisa under the tree, and it's not a valley, and it's not an enclosure, and it's not a mound, it's just simply a specific area under the tree, that works, but only when you're pointing to a specific area under the tree, like the case in the Mishnah where we have the trunk. However, kishasiyim dal amos shikava, avalosiyim dal amos shikava. However, if you do not point to a specific 4 amos under the tree, and you're just simply generically saying, hey, I want my makam shvisa to be there, you point in the direction of the tree, but you're not specific about where under the tree, so then lo yazuz mimkomo. It's the very end of this brisa, which is obviously now a clear indication that it supports the shita of Rav. Because it says at this point in time, you can't move. meaning you don't have 2,000 amas here, and you can't go to the tree. Because the Makom tree said that you tried to dedicate under the tree because it was non-specific, so you don't get that as well. Okay. Ad kan divrei habraisa, and this braisa clearly supporting Rav. So lemetav et yufta de Shmuel. Okay, the braisa so strongly supporting Rav, lo yazuz mimkomo. So what is Shmuel going to do with this braisa? So I'm lecha Shmuel, so Shmuel will tell you, hach ba my skin, and over here we're dealing with, kagon di ikam mi makom raglav, ve ad ikaro tre alpe ve arba garmidi. So the Gemara says that the case in question over here could very well be, this is Shmuel's now ukimta in the braisa, and obviously this would be supportive, it would defend his position. The distance that currently exists between where he currently is and the tree to the trunk of the tree is 2,004 amos. And so if he now makes his makum shvisa on the other side of the tree, opposite of where he currently is located, so then it'll be outside of his own tchum. And so, if he specifies as Dal Amos within where he is right now, that's fine. But if not, he can't go there. And maybe the Braisa in question is talking about this case where the other side of the tree is beyond his chum, and there exists a possibility that he made his Makom Shvisa on the other side of the tree, and that's why he can't go. That could be the case of the Braisa. But had it been the case where the entire area of the tree is within tchum of where he currently is, and he generically throws his tchum, his makom shisa, underneath the tree, so then he can go into that area. That's what Shmuel would say as an ukimta in the braisa. Tani kavasei de Shmuel. I'm finishing up now. We have a braisa supporting the shita of Shmuel. Talvi ira l'shei ruchos, kimadumahu shema'arvin lo l'shei ruchos. Here in this braisa, we're going to start off with a person who just simply is not educated, does not know that you're only making one makom shvisa, and he decides to make two. He just didn't know. Or maybe he is educated, but just simple miscommunication. He tells his servants to go make an error for him, and one goes to the north and one goes to the south. Now, mahalak letzafan kiyirva ladarim, ladarim kiyirva letzafan. And so now, which is his makom shvisa? We don't know. And because we don't know, so now, once again, he's going to be tethered to the two of them. So how far south can he go? Only 2,000 amas from his northern, Makom Shisa. And how far north can he go? Only 2,000 amas from the southern Makom Shisa. And then, in the most extreme version of this, being tethered to two, it could very well be that he is on the 2,000 tchum edge of the southern, he's on the 2,000 tchum edge of the northern, and so therefore, because he's tethered to both, so now where can he go? The answer, of course, is nowhere. Lo yazuz mimkomo. Now, this braisa over here is clearly supportive of Shmuel, because in this braisa, we have not specified exactly where his makom shvisa is going to be. If you asked Rav the question, could he walk anywhere? The answer would be no. Now, in this braisa, he does get stuck, but only in that last case does he get stuck, where he's at the 2,000 amma border of the north and the south, in the north and the south poles, if you will. But if he's not on the border, meaning the north and the south are proximate to one another, so he has room to maneuver. Again, he's tethered to the north, he's tethered to the south, but he could still walk. If you ask Rav the question, would either of the makom shvisas work? The answer, of course, would be no. Rav would say neither would work. We'll go back to either one of those two reasons. Either because of lack of specifics, in other words, he wasn't clear where his makom shvisa is going to be, or because he couldn't do it sequentially, therefore it shouldn't take effect concurrently. Whichever is svara. But over here now, according to Rav, the makom shvisa should not take hold because there are two of them that were set up. So lema tavitu yufta derav. So this braisa should be difficult on Rav. So Rav Tanahu upalig. So the Gemara says over here that Rav has the status of a Tana, meaning Rav has the ability to argue with braisas, and therefore over here Rav feels that that he disagrees with the braisa. Interesting, by the way, because the Gemara just brought down a braisa supporting Rav. Meaning, why didn't the Gemara just simply say it's a machlokas tanaim? Meaning, we just went through a braisa that supports Rav. Okay, I'm not sure, but anyway, but Rav could say that in this particular case, he simply argues with this braisa. We'll stop over here. Let's just quickly recap. Amisha taught us a case where a person's throwing his makom shvisa to an upcoming landmark under a circumstance where he's running home and he knows he's not going to make it. But if he if 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 he if he forwards his makam shvisa to the tree, so then he'll make it to the tree, and then from the tree he'll make it home. Again, all this is assuming that the distance between him and the tree is 2,000 amos, and the distance from the tree to his house is another 2,000 amos. Good. In the Mishnah, basic distinction in which there's a difference between establishing a makam shvisa generically, in other words, just simply saying the area of the tree, or being specific where under the tree it's going to be, because that makam shvisa is going to be a makam dalan al dalan. In that, we had a basic machlokas amarayim. When in the case where he said it generically, he just simply said that I want my makam shvisa to be under the tree, but I didn't say where. So the Mishnah says lo amar klum. What did that mean? So Rav says a full forfeiture of a makam shvisa. He only has dala amos for that Shabbos. Shmuel says no, he gets the area under the tree. He just simply can't go from the tree to his house. Okay. What's the explanation behind Rav? Why is it a full forfeiture? So his current location he forfeited because he clearly wants his makam shvisa to be up ahead on the tree. The area under the tree is no good. Why? So two arguments, two explanations why that should be. One, a lack of specificity. Two, since he cannot establish two makam shvisa sequentially, so therefore he cannot establish even one concurrently if he's trying to do it together with another makam shvisa. Gemara gave a nafkamina based on these two reasons. Let's say that the person clearly only wants one makam shvisa. He just doesn't say where. So for the first argument, that would be no good. And for the second one, it would be fine. The Gemara then spends a good amount of time spending the first amud of today's daf with this idea that if you can't do a zecher zeh, then afilu b'vasacha seino. Then it doesn't even work concurrently. Neither would work concurrently. And the Gemara asks three questions from three different places in halacha. The Gemara defends this rule of Rabbah that if something cannot be done sequentially, it can also not be done concurrently. On the amud beis, we considered, what if the area under the tree is really small, so small that wherever your makam shvisa is, it's going to overlap with wherever else it could be. And the Gemara ends up concluding, like the shita of Rav Huna Bar Rav Yeshua, that as long as the area under the tree is less than 7 amos, then regardless of where your makam shvisa is, it would overlap with any other place where your makam shvisa could be, and therefore it would be good. In other words, that would be specific enough. And then on the Amud Beis, the Gemara quotes a brisa supporting Rav. The Gemara supports the Brisa supporting following Shmuel. Okay, and Adkan. We'll stop over here. And tomorrow we pick it up at the two dots on the bottom of Nun Amud Beis.